You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Sunday, the 22nd of April. And on Sunday, we've got racing coming to you live from Stratford, Wincanton, the Market Race. And Navin have got a meeting over in Ireland. I'm sure they'll try and pick some up of on racing radio as well. Ollie Pimlott in the presenter's chair in the company of John Budden and Rory DeLarghi on Sunday. But for now, John joins me here in the Racing Radio podcast studio. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, John. I'm very well indeed. And it's been interesting racing in the past week and lots more excitement to come.
Indeed. We'll hear your tips for Sunday's racing very, very shortly indeed. But why don't we start by having a chat about the racing that took place in the week. Of course, we had the Craven meeting. Would you be among those who say that the Craven meeting is what really marks the beginning of the flat season?
Yes, I would, John. Yes, I think it's a bit sad that there's a sort of stop-start situation as far as the beginning of a flat race year is concerned. But yes, the Craven meeting is the actual sort of humdigger beginning of the season. And considering the winter we've had, it really went pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good week for it, wasn't it? Beautiful weather. And the feature race of the week, the Craven Stakes, taking place on the Thursday, of course. We saw a very impressive winner in the form of Massar for Charlie Appleby.
I thought very impressive. And I said in earlier podcasts that I was delighted that Godolphin had in fact scored in the World Cup for Sybin Soror, and pointed out how good this was, in my view, for the competitive nature of the coming flat season, that it wasn't going to be Aidan O'Brien monopoly, as had been pretty well the case in the past two seasons. So the fact that Charlie Appleby produced runners at the Craven meeting who, you know, really did scorch over the turf, suggested to me that this is going to take place, and very good indeed. Massar was most impressive. The question is, John, before we talk a little bit more about him, do you think he'd be allowed to have that kind of lead in the 2,000 guineas?
It's unlikely with the bigger field, and you'd have other horses that you know, like to make the running. Quite often, Ballydoyle send one in there that they want to have to the fore. So it's unlikely, I think, but the question is, with that turn of foot, does he need a lead?
Well, that is the question, and it was very interesting, as William Buick said afterwards, obviously very impressed with the performance, that Massar had in fact quickened at least a couple of times, that he'd gone off very nicely, that he quickened at halfway, that he'd actually quickened again going down into the dip, and followed it up with galloping all the way to the line up the hill, and he's going to be very hard to beat. Now, this is a good horse who's rather gone under the sort of clouds, as you might say, John, I think. I remember when he won the Solerio Stakes that Charlie Appleby said this horse is, you know, very green, is growing. He'll be far, far better as a three-year-old. But he did pretty well as a two-year-old. I mean, he won that race. He was placed in good company in France, and very unlucky in a way not to have actually gone closer in the Breeders' Cup. So he's a decent horse with experience. He came, of course, to the Craven on the back of a, well, you might say, rather disappointing run at Maidan, but clearly the surface didn't suit. Mm-hmm. And he looked very much approaching the finished article. And I agree with you, although there's going to be a lot of competition for the lead and so on, this is a horse, in my view, who produced such an impressive display in the Craven Stakes, said he's going to be a very serious contender for the 2,000 guineas, and I think he's got an excellent chance of winning it.
Would he be your idea of the winner at this stage?
At this stage, he definitely is my idea of the winner. It's fair to say that John Gosden pointed out that the pace at which the race had been run didn't suit his horse Roaring Lion, and he made some comment about the fact that he told Connections that his runner was probably only 80% fit. I think you could perhaps take that into account, that some of the particularly Newmarket stables who are badly hit by the cold weather during the early part of the year may not be quite up to, you know, tremendous fitness, but on the other hand, Willie Haggis has hardly been slow.
Yeah. Roaring Lion as well, I think he's entitled to come on for the run as well, and I know he has been talked up by a couple as a potential horse for the Derby. Looking at his pedigree by Kitten's Joy, there's a bit of a pedigree, a bit of stamina on the dam side as well. So there's a chance he would get the Derby trip.
Yes, John Gosden, I think, is thinking of the French Derby, the slightly shorter trip first of all, see how things go. But I think one's got to expect improvement from Roaring Lion. However, in my view, Massard was most impressive, and I think he's got a grand chance of maintaining Charlie Appleby's excellent start to the current season.
Anything else that caught your eye over the 3 days of the Craven meeting you'd like to give a mention to, John?
Not a great deal at the Craven meeting. Newbury yesterday, on the other hand, I was very impressed with La Tidar. That was a win. John Gosden producing La Tidar at Newbury at the same meeting as he produced Enable last year, and a really impressive sort of six-length winner, running on strongly at the end of the race. I think it's a maiden that has produced a number of really good Oaks winners over the sort of last 15 to 20 years, and this filly is of course extremely well bred. I noticed she's actually in the market for the 1,000 guineas, but the Oaks is obviously the major concern.
10-1 with us at William Hill at the moment for the Epsom Oaks.
Yes, and I think it's got a big chance. She's got a big chance. She's certainly well worth watching. Tremendous pedigree, and I thought very, very impressive. In a way, like Massar and La Didar were the two horses that really impressed me over the past week on the flat.
Fantastic. Well, we'll switch our attention from the past now to the future. And on Sunday, we've got the Avoco Jump meetings at Stratford and at Market Raisin as well, and at Wincanton, but you've picked out a pick at both Stratford and Market Raisin for us, John. So which is the first of those two selections?
Well, I'm going for the 4:45 at Stratford, first of all. This is a 3 mile, 3 furlong, really quite a long distance, and not a particularly high-grade handicap, but could be quite competitive. And I thought there were around about four runners in this race who had a decent chance of winning. Over the winter, you know, horses trained by Zoe Davidson have done remarkably well at a modest level. I've never been a follower of Zoe Davidson's horses in the past, but I have noted that they have, you know, maintained their form and have just ventured a little bit out of the Plumpton-Fontwell scene elsewhere. And it's possible that she's got a winner here in Dylan Segogan, who has been running, as I say, consistently in the past 2 months, was third last time out, and has been knocking at the door to win a long-distance race of this type. So is a possibility worthwhile considering. So is Upbeat Cobbler to a certain extent. His form not great, but was second at Huntingdon last time, and I think will be suited to this particular track, and also to the long distance. Lacks speed, but has plenty of stamina. But the two I really like are The Last Bridge, who's been pretty busy during this season. And I dismissed The Last Bridge, terrible thing to do, John, about 2 months ago. I said, oh, this is one of the slowest horses in training. Very consistent, jumps well, got no finishing pace at all. He then proceeded to win a couple of races in quick succession, showing a definite faster toe than I had suspected. Was beat at Warwick last time out and race won by Alberto's Dream, but like Stratford, and will certainly stay the trip. Jamie Moore's in the saddle, and I think The Last Bridge has got a very good chance of getting Sue Johnson back into the winner's enclosure for, I think, the third time this season. Possible danger is On Your Bike, who's trained by John O'Neill, and Jordan Naylor, Mr. Jordan Naylor, taming 7 pounds, rides his horse regularly, and has been second on the last three occasions. Quite a good second to Don't Mind the Boys at Toaster last time out. But I say to myself, Toaster and Stratford are very, very different venues, and it's possible this horse really needs a stiffer finish and a stiffer track. He'll get the distance all right, and it'll be interesting to see whether he makes a switch to Stratford well. However, I'm going to go with The Last Bridge to win again for Sue Johnson, and in this case, Jamie Moore.
The Last Bridge for Lord John Budden in the 4:45 at Stratford on Sunday. And how about in Market Rosen's 5:05? That's where your other selection runs.
Yeah, this again is a handicap, a slightly better handicap, and not such a long trip. But this, nevertheless, is going to take some winning. And we've got Gone Alston Cloud, who is heading the weights here, trained by Nick Kent. Not one of the trainers I follow with any great profit or success, but nevertheless, he likes Market Raisin, doesn't train all that far from the track, and I see he's booked a really good rider in Jamie Byrne for the ride here. Did pretty well last time out, won at Wetherby. Pulled up, though, in the Edinburgh National before that. Could go relatively close in this slightly lesser grade, but I thought there were one or two others who might show just that little bit more pace. Rebecca Menzies is sending up possibly an interesting runner down here to Market Raisin with Return Flight, who was quickened up on the jump of the bumper at Newcastle last time. I'd finished third, actually. Prior to that, had been over hurdles quite a while ago, well beat at entry, and fell when appearing over fences for the last time at Kempton some while ago. So obviously got to improve quite significantly. Wolfsword, though, would have to be a major contender in this race. Sue Smith, Danny Cook. It's a combination, you know, I find a little bit unlucky to follow. But they have had a pretty good season, and Wolfsword will be, fresh. I saw him run quite well at Carlisle last time out. Pistol Park won the race, and Wolfsword was second. A definite improvement on a previous run at Carlisle over a longer trip. And I think Wolfsword has to come into this race with every chance of winning. However, a lot of huff and puff about, and I'm going to go for huff and puff. I think Venetia Williams obviously is in tremendous nick at the moment. Huff and puff also. I thought Pembroke House might win at Hereford last time out, and I in fact napped Pembroke House, and as they approach the last or two fences, I thought he might be going to win, but Half and Puff suddenly appeared and produced a great deal better finishing pace to score tidily. Had previously won at Taunton, stable is in very good form, Charlie Deutsch is riding very well, and although I much respect Wolfsword, I'm going to go for Half and Puff to gain a third consecutive victory.
Huff and Puff for the hat trick then in the 505 at Market Raisin for Lord John Budden. And those are your two selections for Sunday's racing. Then, John, looking ahead to next week, of course, great racing on the way. Are you looking forward to Punchestown?
Tremendous, isn't it? And, you know, I can't help thinking that Gordon Elliott may be shivering a little bit in the soles of his of shoes at the moment, because William Mullins is going to really go for everything at Punchestown. And it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens. Will Sam Crowe go for the champion hurdle or for the other one, do you think?
I expect he'll go for the novices race, won't he? If they didn't try him in the champion hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival, then...
Well, yes, there was talk about him going chasing next autumn, but and I thought perhaps he might go for the champion hurdle just to sign off on a winning nose and show what class he is. But he'll almost certainly go for the novice, leaving Mellon to win that, a good prize for William Mullins. And then we've got Duvet in running, haven't we? And, you know, looking back at the festival, Duvet was still going extremely well when it came down, and it'll be fascinating to see him back in action altogether. It's quite amazing that these festivals appear one after the other. Cheltenham, Aintree, Punchestown. It's a treat, enormous treat.
Really builds up to a big crescendo, doesn't it, at the end of the jump season?
It does. It really does. And then the final day at Sandown over in this country is by no means a sort of wet number. Let's hope the sun shines and the racing is of a high calibre. And I'm interested in the summer jumping. Very quickly, I think Brian Hughes will make a very early start. Richard Hale, his jockey's agent, who lives in Cumbria, not all that far from me, I think he's absolutely determined to get Brian Hughes off to a quick start in the summer jumping campaign.
That's very interesting. Good to hear that. Maybe one to keep an eye out for. Loads of great racing coming in the slightly shorter term, though, next week with the Punchestown Festival. And Epsom also back for the first time this summer. We've got racing at Sandown, of course, next weekend with the Celebration Chase. Loads of great stuff on the way. And it's all live on William Hill's Racing Radio with a podcast every day to keep you up to date with the goings on as well and give you a couple of tips along the way. And John Budden, thanks for joining us on today's edition.
Thank you, John. Lovely to be here.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.